Everybody will be happy over there. You seem to be happy this morning over here. And we certainly can appreciate the spirit with which our songs have been directed this morning and the very fine, enthusiastic way that the congregation has blended its voices together in cooperation with Brother Gervase Brown. We appreciate the job he did in directing our singing. We are grateful for the scripture reading by Brother Gerald Daniel, and we are thankful for the meaningful and very relevant prayer that was worded by Brother Solomon Stevens. Certainly, it is good to be here this morning, and it's good to see each of you here this morning. It should always be a joyful privilege for children of God to assemble together on Lord's Day, that we might worship Him in spirit and in truth as He directs us in His holy word. We want you to turn to that familiar passage that Brother Daniel read just a few moments ago from Hebrews 11. He read verses 1 through 6. Yeah, we revisit this passage on today. We're going to be talking about faith like that in times like these. Faith like that in times like these. We're talking about the kind of faith that is described in this passage, especially that we see a definitive picture of in verse number 6. We are familiar with this passage. This is one of those basic, fundamental, essential passages of Scripture. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith is portrayed in this passage as one of the indispensables of the Christian, of the people of God. Something that you simply cannot do without. Something that is absolutely necessary. Faith, as it is described here in Hebrews chapter 11. We are aware of a number of things in life without which we couldn't survive, that we just have to have. And food is one of those. You have to have food. You can go a few days, maybe a few weeks, without it. But it's an indispensable. You have to have food in order to survive. Another probably more serious indispensable is water. We have to have water. Can't do without it. You can go a few days, maybe even a week or more, without water, but you are seriously endangering your health and your life. You need to remain hydrated. Of course, I might add that we need to remain spiritually hydrated as well. We need to drink deeply of the water of life, like we need to consume on a regular basis the Word of God, which is our food. It is written, remember, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You can't do without food. It's indispensable. You can't do without water. It's indispensable. But there's something else you can't do without. You can't do without this very long at all. And I don't want you to be deprived of it. Of what do I speak? That's absolutely necessary for the sustaining of human life. More important than food, more important than water. Air. Specifically, oxygen. You can't do without oxygen for no prolonged period of time. Maybe a minute for some, 2 minutes for others. Maybe a few can hold their breath and do without oxygen for 3 minutes. I wouldn't want to try it. I know how vitally important it is. There are a number of other essentials, indispensable things that we cannot do without. Faith is one of these on the spiritual level. If you're going to take a trip and you forget your blue suede shoes that you always wear with your blue suit, and you're headed to the airport, and you remember, man, I forgot my blue suede shoes. Well, you don't just have to have those blue suede shoes. Or you might remember, I forgot my favorite cologne. Man, I want it to certainly smell good. Man, I need that cologne. But you don't have to have it. You can get some cheap toilet water to tide you over. Reminds me of little Jimmy Dickens. Said he had a knot on the back of his head. The commode top fell down on him while he was splashing toilet water on his face. But there are some things we can do without. But when you start checking your inside coat pocket on your way to the airport, and you say, man, where are my tickets? I left them on top of the dresser in the bedroom. It doesn't really make any difference. I can go right ahead. No. That's not the case. The tickets are indispensable. You have to go back and get those tickets, because without those tickets, it is impossible for you to fly. You can't board the plane and reach your destination without those tickets. They are indispensable. Similarly, on a spiritual plane, we cannot board the old ship of Zion that will lead us eventually to glory without the indispensable ticket of authentic operating faith. It's an indispensable. Remember, the Hebrew writer affirms, without faith, it is not hard, it is not difficult, it is not challenging, it is impossible to please him. We must have faith. Faith is a basic, it's foundational, it is fundamental. If we are to operate as Christians successfully in such a way that God will be pleased and in such a way that we will be blessed, we must understand the fundamentals of this indispensable spiritual element in our lives. If our spirituality is to increase, if we are to experience ongoing spiritual growth, we have to have the basic fundamentals of faith. And our faith should grow, because you can have little faith, you can have weak faith, but you can have great faith. You can have strong faith, faith that stands in the power of God. How many of you know how to add? Don't raise your hands. Subtract, multiply, divide. Those are the basics. Those are the basics. If you are going to learn how to do algebra successfully, how to do geometry, how to do calculus, you have to have the fundamentals. There's no way you're going to be doing algebra and geometry and trigonometry and calculus if you don't know how to add, subtract, multiply, and divide. Those are the basic fundamentals. And you move progressively from the fundamentals, the basic elements, and you grow. And our faith should commensurately grow as we study the Word of God and as we put into practice those cogent principles that we derive from the Word of God. Remember Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There are three things I want us to identify in verse number 6. The first is the object of our faith. The object of our faith. He that comes to God must believe that he is. God is the object of our faith. Your faith can never rise to the level of strength and power that is greater than that possessed by the object of your faith. God is the object of our faith. Our faith must be based on and rooted in God. Our faith shouldn't be based upon our parents, our friends, our elders, our preacher, or our deacons, or our teachers. Our faith should not be predicated upon mere men, flawed, weak, inadequate, failing men, fragile men, faulty men, feeble men. Our faith must be predicated upon God. That is a passage that was a part of our lesson in the adult class this morning that I'd like for us to revisit. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. That was the passage from which our lesson came this morning. Isaiah chapter 40. And we will see immediately why we should not invest our faith in mere men. Verses 6 through 8, Peter quotes this passage basically in 1 Peter chapter 1, but let's look at the Isaiah passage. Isaiah 40, verses 6 through 8. The voice said, "Cry." And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof, or the glory thereof, is as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth." Because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. We look at the transitory nature of grass and flowers, but we look at the permanence of God and His word. I ordered some flowers for my sweetheart on what we call Valentine's Day. Ordered them from Joy's Flowers. That was about 3 weeks or more ago. Surprisingly, the carnations, although they are gradually fading, they are still alive, still look pretty good. The roses have been gone. By the way, I got some flowers for my wife also. They are one and the same. But she knew when she first gazed upon the beauty of those flowers when they delivered to her place of work, "Oh, these are so beautiful. Oh, they're wonderful. That husband of mine is a sweet rascal. But they are going to fade away and die." But she's still enjoying them. She's still enjoying them. But one day she'll have to discard them. All flesh is as grass, and the glory of man, the goodliness of man, like the flower of grass. The flower fades. The grass withers. Now, it is significant to note that it is inappropriate to place our faith in men, because men are like the grass and like the flower. "Love my elders, but my faith is not in them. My faith is in God and in the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Love our deacon. But my faith is not invested in him, because he's like the grass, like the flower. I love all of you. But my faith is in the great God of glory. We talked about the existence of God in our class this morning. I think all of us are convinced of his existence, of his vital reality, knowing that God is alive. And we can always depend upon him. Especially can we depend upon him in times like these. If we have faith like that, which is described in Hebrews 11 and other numerous passages of scripture and sacred literature, we can depend upon God. He'll never let us down. He'll never leave us or forsake us. Y'all might remember a sermon entitled something about Absalom's mule. Absalom's mule let him down. Matter of fact, he hung him up, left him hanging in a tight place. But God will never let us down. God will never let us or leave us hanging. We can always depend upon him. No wonder the wise preacher of antiquity uttered these oft-quoted words in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, saying, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. I believe that's Psalm 37, verse number 4. My poor memory serves me properly this morning. I'm just saying we can trust in God. We can depend upon him, because he's going to always be there for us. God must be the object of our faith. But not only do we need to consider the object of our faith, but we also need to focus attention on the opportunity of our faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them. He is a rewarder of them. You have an opportunity to be rewarded. People like to be rewarded. They have countless award ceremonies. The Academy Award, Emmys, Grammys, Dove, Tonys, all kinds of awards. And people like that. You know, people like to be recognized. People like to have their efforts acknowledged and rewarded. But there is an award that awaits those who are faithful children of God that far transcends the transitory corruptible, decaying, fading awards that are given by men. That award, that reward of which I speak, the crown of life, which never fades, never deteriorates, never is corrupted. Don't you want that award? Don't you want that reward? It makes life worth living. It enables us to face and embrace the reality of death with a spirit of calm equanimity. He is a rewarder of them. Who is a rewarder? God is a rewarder of them. That's the opportunity that is provided for us as people of God. The object of our faith, the opportunity of our faith. Finally, the obligation of our faith. If you want to experience and be blessed by the opportunity, we must take seriously the obligation of our faith. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The obligation is to seek him. Seek him through the studying of his word and the inculcation of its eternal, infallible, inspired principles into our hearts and lives. Weave the fabric of God's word into the tapestry of your character as a person concerned about pleasing God. That's our obligation, to seek him. We seek him through his word. We seek him through prayer, earnest, sincere, devoted, frequent prayer. But not only do we seek him through his word, but we also seek him through prayer. But not only do we seek him through prayer, we also seek him through living out the reality of our faith in everyday life, which is manifested in how we treat our spouses, how we treat our parents, how we treat our children, how we treat our brothers and sisters in Christ, how we treat our teachers, how we treat our church leaders, how we act at work, how we act on the byways and highways and interstates. In every area of our lives, we need to acknowledge our faith and our confident reliance upon God as people committed to pleasing him. It affects every area, every aspect of our lives. That's our obligation. We should make it priority that we live in such a manner that is consistent with his will and that is pleasing to our Father. remember. We need faith like that in times like these. Remember that men who possess and exemplify this kind of faith rise above adversity and attain new heights of achievement by turning tribulations into triumphs, failures into fortunes, setbacks into success, obstacles into opportunities, and burdens into blessings. They refuse to be hampered by handicaps, dismayed by discouragement, overcome by opponents, defeated by disappointments, or destroyed by disasters. We need faith like this in times like these. Have you begun to cultivate, to develop that kind of faith? Have you established an appropriate scriptural relationship with God through obedience to the gospel and to the making of a commitment to live for the Lord? Jesus loved us so much that he died on the cross of Calvary for our sins, yours and mine. He took our place. I was condemned to die, but Jesus took my place. He bore it all that I might live. Jesus bore it all, suffered inexpressible anguish and agony, suffered what is called excruciating pain. That pain came to be identified with the method of execution known as crucifixion. Oh, he went through a lot for you and me. When he died on the tree for our sins, I didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it. None of us deserved it. But none of us is expendable. We can say, well, he doesn't count. He's not that important. This guy doesn't count. He's not that important. This precious little beard, he doesn't count. No, that's not. None of us is expendable. None of us is insignificant. None of us lacks value. None of us lacks worth in the sight of God. He loves all of us. Jesus died for all of us and is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 5. There's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He's the one that was suspended between the twilights of two worlds, suffering for you and me, dying, bleeding for us, making our salvation possible. You've heard that good news, how he died and how he was taken by the beneficent hands of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who came to the Lord by night, placed in a borrowed tomb. He didn't need it for but just a little while. Because early on the first day of the week, He arose from the grave, being declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, Romans 1 and verse 4. That's the good news. Paul says it will save you if you'll keep it in memory unless you have believed in vain, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. That's the good news. That is a measurement of how much you are loved and how much you are valued by God. Amen. Don't lightly regard what the Lord has done for you. Doesn't make any difference who you are, where you're from. You are loved. Believe that good news with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ as the Son of God. Submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins. And arise to walk in the newness of life with a new hope, a new commitment, a new focus as a child of God. You want to do that today? Maybe you're here and you are already a Christian, but have fallen by the wayside, have wandered far away from home. You don't have to remain in the unenviable far country. Come home where the Father waits with outstretched arms to receive you back, to restore you to your proper place, to bless you once more, to accept you as his child through repentance, confession, and prayer that can be done. Do you want to renew your relationship today? You want to recommit your life today? You want to enter the wonderful land of beginning again? God is a God of second chances. He'll give us opportunity after opportunity, but don't allow the opportunities to run out on you. Remember God, the object of our faith. Remember the opportunity of our faith to be rewarded. Remember the obligation of our faith to continue daily seeking him. Will you come as we together stand and as we sing?
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, go haste to the brink. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink.
Will you come to me? Why not come? Take advantage of the opportunity that is yours. Will you come
to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome.
Last verse.
And this water.
Why not come? Don't hesitate. Don't procrastinate. Don't vacillate or equivocate. Why not come now while the blood runs warm in your veins?
Bring as we haste to drink and to live.
Will you come? Stanton.